Is anybody listening to this? It's Padded Room Party Time. My name is Darian. Miss Monica is here.
I'm here.
Jason Harrell, I thought, was going to be here, but apparently not.
Dang it.
Damn it. That sucks, because yeah. Nez just texted me. He wanted to come in, and I'm like, no, we got a full boat, and now no Jason Harrell. That's all right. Jason's a...
He owes us. To eat a hot pepper now.
Oh, he doesn't care about hot peppers.
Yeah, well, I'll give him a hot pepper.
He eats the shit out of some hot and spicy stuff, man. Monica, how was your week, babe?
It was horrible.
Uh-oh, what's the matter?
The sinus and allergy season, dude. I even missed a day of work.
Really? That bad?
So bad, yeah.
I get them pretty bad this time of year. I think I get them worse in the spring, though.
Oh, I think September, October is when it hits me.
Yeah? Is it just seasonal or what?
I think so. Because after this month, hopefully it's over with.
Yeah. After October?
After October.
I'm okay. I get them in the morning, but they usually clear up pretty quick. And then I take my pills and then I'm okay.
Mine's hit and miss.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you just phlegm up? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. My eyes start to water. Ugh. And then my nose gets really stuffed up.
Ugh,
about for
worst.
An hour.
I get Kermit the Frog voice every now and then. Yeah. But it's intermittent. So I'll be like mid conversation. I'll be like, hey, I really like horror movies. And then I'm like,
Well, last year we were out at the track and it was September. And I don't know what's blooming out there, but all of a sudden, throat swelled up.
It's just the fucking dust, dude.
Oh, it was horrible.
Sometimes after I run, I'll get it real bad.
Uh-huh.
And it's fucking nasty. My left eye will swell shut.
Yeah.
I can feel my throat starting to close, so I'm like...
Yeah.
That happened once, and my mother-in-law stole all my allergy pills.
Oh,
she's
wow.
like, these work great. I'm going to take them home to Oklahoma with me. So I get home, I run home, I rush home from the gym, and I'm like, give me some pills, I'm going to fucking die. And my wife is like, my mom took them. She just loved your pills so much, she took them home with her.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, you're going to get me a fucking refill right now, or you're going to be a widow.
What do you take for it?
I actually went to the hospital once, the first time it happened, because I thought I was really going to die.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's allergies, dude. There was probably something in the air.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me an EpiPen.
Oh, okay.
You know what that
yeah.
is?
Uh-huh.
You stab yourself in the leg with that thing.
Yeah.
if you're really in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Thank Christ I've never had to use that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. But other than that, I just take this stuff here, which I keep on my person at all times.
Okay.
Allerclear from Kirkland.
I get it at
Costco.
You
get like 300,000 of them for $10.
I just take Benadryl.
Benadryl I take at night when I can't sleep.
Oh, it's not helping me sleep either.
No,
because I've been up till like 2-3 in the morning.
Did you get the non-drowsy kind?
No, I got the drowsy one.
Dude, that stuff levels me.
Oh, God.
Puts
I wish
me right
it would
on my behind.
Me.
Boom. I take it. I got like a 15-minute head start to the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
If I don't make it, I'll be right there in the hallway.
Oh, my God.
Snoring.
I've been up all night playing poker on my phone.
Look at you. That's the worst, right? I do the same thing. I got all these stupid phone games. I lay in bed and play them until my eyes hurt.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, look at that. The sun's coming up.
Yeah.
Guess I'll get up and get ready for work then.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a son of a bitch. Very cool, man. Allergies, they suck. I don't care for them. Get them anyway. What are you going to do? You know, there's a cure for allergies. It's you don't want it though. What you do is, I think it's like hookworm or something like that. And what you do, what it does is, it's like a fucking immuno inhibitor. So it basically shuts down the part of you that reacts to the histamine.
Wow.
Now, do you want to know how to get the hookworm?
No.
It's non-lethal. So you can hang with the hookworm.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is walk around with bare feet in, I believe it's either pig or cow feces.
No, thank you. No way.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with my allergies.
Yeah.
I don't need any parasites.
They say honey works too, the local honey.
Yeah?
Yeah, a friend of mine keeps telling me I need to eat some honey.
I'm sweet enough. That's what I say. Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Everybody has their own weird cures and stuff.
Yeah.
I got a cure for what ails you. It's called horror news.
Oh, right. Horror news.
Oh, we got a few things going on here. Have you seen them? I know you've seen it. Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
It's a good show?
Uh-huh.
How would you feel about a possible sequel?
Sequel, or I thought they were remaking the original.
I think you're thinking of Cabin Fever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, Cabin in the Woods. A sequel? Oh,
what do you think? It's kind of hard because the first one ended with like the apocalypse, right?
Yeah, everybody pretty much got killed.
That's what I thought. And like the elder gods showed up and they were going to wreck everything.
Oh, geez. How are they going to do a sequel?
I don't know. But Lionsgate has reportedly approached Drew Goddard, who wrote the first one, about doing a sequel to Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
I love that movie up to the last 5 minutes.
Really?
Why would you save the fucking stoner kid? Sigourney Weaver pops out and she's like, hey, we got to sacrifice the stoner kid to the elder gods or the whole world's gonna die. Okay, let me explain something. By the whole world, that includes the fucking stoner kid. So you can let him. You're going to let him live for another 15 minutes and kill everybody in the process? That's dumb, man. That's some dumb shit.
Well, didn't they used to say stoners rule?
Well, they did, but I don't know. I don't know, man. And that would have made an awesome franchise, I think, too. Because you could keep going, putting new kids in that cabin.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
Have them pick some new shit out of the basement in blammo.
Yeah.
And I love the two guys, the two
that
office
were at
guys.
The computer.
Love those guys. I would love to see a sequel to Cabin in the Woods. Hopefully, they can make that happen.
As long as it's not PG.
Was the first one PG? I think it was.
No, it was R-rated.
Is it? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There was no nudity. Although that scene where she's making out with the wolf head.
I don't remember that.
Hey, now.
I'm going to rewatch that movie.
You need to get on that because that's good stuff. Are you familiar with Hammer Horror at all? The European film studio?
No.
Huge in the 60s. They put out like all those crazy Dracula movies with Christopher Lee.
Oh, okay.
They are about to release a massive Blu-ray box set. An Australian company called Shock is the one putting it out.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to have about 8 titles. Dracula, Dracula, Prince of Darkness, a bunch of other crud.
Oh, that'll be cool.
They did some good stuff. You like those 60s, 70s?
Yes, I do.
Schlocky kind of
horror
films? Yeah,
because I had a crush on Christopher Lee.
So did I. All the way up till, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's cool, though. I'll probably pick that up. Did you get a Blu-ray player yet?
No.
What the fuck is your problem, man?
Now that I have Netflix and popcorn.
You really don't need it anymore,
yeah,
right?
I don't need it.
The only reason I keep buying movies is because I find ones that are going to look good on my shelf.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Over like there. Your titles over there.
Yeah, except my son comes by twice a day and pulls them all down and like shuffles them on the floor.
Well, then maybe for my birthday, I'll tell my mother-in-law I would like a Blu-ray player.
Get a Blu-ray. They're like $100, dude.
Yeah, I heard they're really cheap.
Fucking get a Blu-ray player. Monica, welcome to 2015.
All right, that's on my list.
Oh, what else we got here? The El Rey Network. You familiar with this at all? Robert Rodriguez's own TV channel.
Oh.
It's regular channel. I don't know where the hell you find it, though.
Okay.
That Dusk Till Dawn series debuted on it. And I don't know, I guess you got to go through the internet or some shit to find it. I don't know where it is. Oh, good news. They just bought the rights to Freddy's Nightmares. Remember that old show?
No.
It was like a Tales from the Crypt style situation, but it was kind of hosted by Freddy Krueger.
Oh, okay.
So he would like pop up in the middle of the story and be like, oh, she sure got a fill of that, didn't she? It sucked, but the one thing that I remember about it is that the pilot episode was badass. It was like an hour and a half long, and it was like the original arrest, arraignment, and prosecution of Freddy Krueger.
Oh, wow.
And then him eventually getting cut loose at the end on some technicality.
Huh.
And it actually had Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger.
Wow, I never saw that.
When this podcast first started, we had Julie Hoverson coming in here from 19 Nocturne, and she actually found like an old VHS collection of Freddy's Nightmares, and she was emailing her reviews and synopsis of the shows, and we used to put her on the show. It was a good time. I mean, it's regular TV. Yeah. It's like I think it was on like ABC, so there's no nudity or anything like that. And then once the season got going, then it just turned into Tales from the Crypt with Freddy popping up every now and then.
Oh,
this is it's not bad.
What year was this? Where was I?
Ooh, I'm gonna say probably 86-ish, 87-ish, somewhere in there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
around.
those were the rough years, huh, Monica? bad news for Terminator fans. It looks like that franchise has been put on hold indefinitely.
Oh.
That last one really tanked.
Really?
Genesis, yeah. Only grossed like $27
million. Oh, I'm going to watch that one today.
Are you? Let me know what you think.
Okay.
I know Dale's all hot and bothered by it, but he's hot and bothered by buff dudes.
Huh, okay.
So, I mean, I'm not a huge Terminator fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the first one. Second one, of course, was like groundbreaking with special effects. Started watching the third one where there was like a chick Terminator. And I was like, oh, okay, this is dumb. I'm not going to be a part of this. And then Dale turned me on to that one where with Christian Bale, where they're in the future fighting. That one was pretty badass.
That one was good.
And I've from the reviews I've seen of Genesis, it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I would say I didn't care for number three.
That was the chick one, right?
That was the chick, because I don't care for the kid that played John Connor.
Oh, that was, was that Nick Stahl?
Is that his name? I believe from Bully?
Yeah, that guy.
I hate that guy.
What's wrong with that guy?
I don't know. Is it He's just because so of Bully? Maybe because of Bully ruined it for me.
That's a creepy fucking movie, dude.
Freaking jerk motherfucker in that movie.
That guy was clearly gay, right? He's like making weird pornos with dudes and dildos.
Yeah.
That's a whole other podcast right there. The Bully Podcast with Darian and Monica. Lastly, some stuff I'm excited about. The title sequence for the next season of American Horror Story is up at Bloody Disgusting. You watch the American Horror Story?
I haven't watched that yet.
Shoot me an email. Once you buy a goddamn Blu-ray player, I'll send you home with the first three seasons. They're beautiful. And the title sequences are usually the best. Because, like, the first one was about a haunted house. So it was, like, this weird found footage thing of, like, a guy going through the house. Second one was in a mental asylum in the 60s. So that one was, like, people in straitjackets being hung upside down and tortured. Third one was a witch coven in New Orleans. That one, I think, was the best because it was like these hot chicks wearing black hoods and high heels, and they're all levitating and stuff.
Huh.
Fourth one was in a carnival in the 50s. That one was pretty good, too, because it was like a lot of steampunky kind of references. And
oh, wow.
Psycho. That probably had the best killer clown ever, I think. Twisty the Clown. Bad motherfucker, that guy.
Huh.
This one has Lady Gaga in it, so I am going to beat off to it at some point.
I have, I started watching The Strain, but I keep missing episodes, so I'm like, I got to watch this from the beginning.
Yeah, that's the worst. I tried to pick up The Strain. Mm-hmm. I came in, halfway through the first season, and it occurred to me as I was watching them, I think I was watching them out of order, because nothing made sense to me.
Right.
So eventually, I'm like, I'll wait till it hits Netflix, and then maybe I can get into it. Bad motherfucking vampires, though.
Yeah, they are.
With the weird tongue scorpion stingy thingy. Woo! Yeah. You don't want that, man.
No.
I'll tell you right now. That's all I have on the horror news, Miss Monica. Do you have anything else?
No. Oh, you know, I did read that they have officially decided they are not going to touch The Exorcist.
That's good. I'm okay
There's
with
no
that.
There's no remake or nothing.
I wouldn't mind a sequel to The Exorcist.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, what that first, that last one that came out with the Exorcist Beginning, I think, where he's back in Iraq digging up the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That
not my favorite, I'll tell you that. Exorcist 3 was pretty badass. With
That
one
was...
With Brad Dourif as the serial killer.
Was that the one where he was locked up in the asylum? Okay.
Yes, that was badass. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any... I know I've seen it, but I have zero recollection of Exorcist 2. Except I know that Melinda Blair was in it, and I think
she
was...
Oh, yeah, that was more about the exorcism in Africa.
Was it? Mm-hmm. But she was like in a kids' hospital or something like that?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
She got pretty hot
there
for a minute.
She was cute.
Yeah.
She played in those, what?
Those street trash or whatever. That one with...
lesbian-themed movies.
Chicks in Prison. Yeah. Fuck you! Oh, that's hot stuff right there, man. Very cool. Let's get into our listener mail section then, if we could. I believe we have some correspondence this week.
Listener mail.
Booyah. Let's start it off in the land of the rising sun, Tokyo, Japan. Kevin coming in. Subject line, John Carpenter top 10. Hi, Darren and Monica. Top 3 John Carpenter movies. I think he meant top 3 there in the subject line. Number 3, It. I don't believe It is a John Carpenter movie. I think you're off base there, Kevin. I could be wrong. Number 2, The Fog. Love that one. Number 1, Halloween. That's pretty solid picks.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Terra Dome, Pyramid Head versus the Creeper. Vote goes to Pyramid Head, as I suspected it would. Nightbreed versus Werewolves. Vote goes to Werewolves. Uh-oh. This doesn't bode well for one Gracie's Poppy. He had the Nightbreed in the teams competition. I'd like to remind him, though, that I did send him a prize pack last year, despite the fact that I am the reigning champion. So who's the bigger man here, GP? I think it's me. Nez coming up next. Sorry, Nez. It's my fault. I'll just leave it at that. Subject line, thank you. Hey, Padded Room, Nez here. Just wanted to thank both of you again for letting me chill with you guys last week. I had a rad time in the Padded Room. I told all my horror friends about the show, so I hope they'll all check it out. That was a pretty good time, having old Nez in here. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm open to having people come in here besides just us and Harold. But there is like a vetting process, you know what I mean? I had to meet Nez for coffee first so that I could make sure he wasn't... They didn't like have any knives on them.
Anything,
you know?
I know. I have people ask me, and I tell them, you know what? Just email Darian and see what he says.
We're gonna have to have coffee. I need to make sure you're not wearing an adult diaper or have like a dildo mask on or anything like that. Once that checks out, then you're good to go. This week's movie, The Mad Monster. Sorry, guys, but I couldn't get through it. I know it was only a little over an hour long, but it was tough and boring to watch. I did like the old school Wolfman type transformation. Old school effects are fresh. Immersion Therapy, The Horde. Now this zombie flick was pure gnar. You got cops out for revenge, badass street toughs, and a kick-ass old man strapped with a big machine gun lighting up the living dead. I love shoot 'em up movies, and adding zombies to it made it fucking sweet. That's all I got for this week. You guys take care. Thanks again, and party on, Nez. Very cool, Nez. Mm-hmm. That is a good show, The Horde. I've seen that a few times. I like it when there's like a different story going on besides just the zombies. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
When you take like a weird turn with the I'm trying to think of another good example of that. Night of the Living Dead, not really, because it's all about survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just something there. Hey, your girlfriend's up next. Kreese is in the house. Subject line, question of the episode. I've watched way too many horror movies and episodes of Tales from the Crypt to ever promise I'd be with someone forever or love only them or anything of that sort. As for a dead lover coming back to get with me, I'd probably hire someone to get them for me. Okay, so, yeah, I see what you're saying. My old move is when I when I was done with a girlfriend, I would just hook her up with one of my friends and just kind of shove her on down the line there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that would work with a dead chick, though.
I don't. I mean, think
my friend,
so.
My friends aren't known for their standards.
Uh huh.
So maybe I don't know.
No, she's not leaving you.
Oh, that's tough business. Kreese coming in again. Subject line: Terra Dome. Give me Pyramid Head and the Night Breed. Oh, we could be in for a turnaround here, GP. Not for the creeper though. Pyramid Head's blowing him away. That's good news for you. That's it on the email front. Let's get into some voicemails here. See, now you started talking about allergies.
I know. Now
so I wasn't thinking about mine, but now they're going to fire right up. Son of a bitch. You're fired, Monica. Here comes. I believe this is Jesse.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Jesse.
Jesse.
Few things as always. First, I'll get Terra Dome out of the way.
Okay.
Just so I don't forget about it, because I have a habit of forgetting the fucking matchups.
Forget about it.
I'm going to go with Pyramid Head over the Creeper.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that the director of those movies is a rotten piece of shit who should burn in hell.
Oh, there's that.
And teams, I will take Nightbreed over the Werewolves.
Oh, look at that.
I like werewolves, but I just, the Nightbreed are badass, so.
It's the best.
I don't care what werewolf pack it is. I think they would decimate them. Immersion therapy for this week. Everybody got their horror movie. The Horde is really good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it probably about a year ago. Fun film, fun movie. I was kind of getting a little bit tired. Oh, dare I say that? Of zombie movies, but
how dare you?
Good. It was something different. It was something I, you know, hadn't really seen. It's kind of a bitch, though, because I had to watch it dubbed, which is a problem for me with a lot of things.
Really?
Because, of course, I can't read the subtitles.
Right.
So the dubbing was pretty shitty, but yeah. I've kind of gotten used to that over the years. I can read subtitles in Braille, but it's kind of a bitch to keep up as you're watching the movie, so I usually just watch dubs.
That's cool. I wonder how that works.
What else? I know there was something else. Oh, educating Miss Monica. I would put those bitches back in the ground, because honestly, and I know this kind of defeats the purpose of the question. You're supposed to think of, you know, you loved your ex and all that kind of stuff like he did in the movie, but
I don't think
there
he
are
did.
None of my exes that I would ever want to come back in any way, shape, or form. So I'm putting them back in the ground somehow. I'm not even giving a second thought. I mean, she shows up at my door like she did in the movie, and I'm taking her out somehow. So that's not even a debate for me. And last but not least, I think you guys might get a kick out of this. Keep in mind that I am blind, as we've said. I bought a car Friday.
What?
I'm now a car owner.
What?
It was kind of a very weird
Who the hell sold you a car?
Beth,
I'm calling the cops.
Needed something more reliable than her.
Okay, you bought it for your girl.
Shit, so I bought a car. So yeah, and the funny thing is, the people didn't even bat an eye when I walked in there. I figured they would say something, but they're like, "Oh, you'll just have someone else drive it, right?" And I was like, "Yeah," but I was kind of hoping that, you know, somebody would try to say something like, "Oh, how are you going to buy this car?" But it was really blah, and they were just like, take my, or they were just like, give me your money. So
I think I'm gonna start a hidden camera show with Jesse,
and I'll talk to you next week.
Me and Alan have this ongoing joke about putting a GoPro on Jesse and sending him into weird places. I want to send him into a strip club with a GoPro and just have him...
Oh, my God.
Just grab every booby in the house. What do you want? I'm blind. I was reaching for the volume knob or something. I don't know. Can't believe Jesse bought a car, man. I think I'm going to call the cops. Somebody should be arrested for that.
I don't see why, if you trust the other person that you're with, whoever is in your life, why couldn't you drive if they're directing you? You don't think so?
We would need to, like, a couple of practice runs.
Oh, yeah, you know, of course.
I don't know, man. Like, what if she has a bad sense of direction? Go left. I mean, right.
Then you wouldn't want
her to. Oh, shit. No, I'm not into it. And I'm not... Jesse, I love you, but I don't need a ride, okay? I'll walk or whatever. Speaking of Alan.
Padded room, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Terror Dome, give me Pyramid Head and the Breed. What would I do if my dead ex came back? It depends on which one. Most of them just, you know, old machete to the dome, whatever, 45 and be done with it. Some of them, I don't know, pull their teeth out and play with them.
Wow.
That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye. Oh, yeah, it was good to hear Nez on. I enjoyed that part. That mask he hooked y'all up with was badass.
Right.
Yep, that's it. Bye.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Alan. I think we have a budding bromance between Alan and Nez.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to start their own show pretty soon.
That would be funny.
I would most definitely subscribe. Well, it's that time of the show. Here he comes, the man himself.
Hey, it's JP. Just heading back from the Monster Mania convention. Make this real quick.
And there he goes.
Wow.
It's okay. He called back.
You are so freaking lucky I have my kids in my car. Terradome. I will take Creeper over Pyramid Head because chop Creeper up in the pits and gets right back together. So I don't know how the hell you destroy him. Mm-hmm. Nightbreed versus Werewolves. I will take the Breed because the Berserkers are more vicious than Woolworth Pack, I guess. Agree. Immersion Therapy. The Horde. Right? Horde? Not the other one. The Horde.
I got it.
Didn't see it because I was a Monster Mania, but I saw it like 3 times already. Loved it. That's it. Goodbye. F you. K7. Bye-bye.
Yeah, GP caught me.
You're so freaking lucky.
Whoa, there, mister. Just take it easy. You say goodbye, the call's over. Yeah, gee, I forgot that we changed the immersion therapy.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I started watching the one that I set, From the Dark.
From the Dark.
And I put it on Facebook, and then GP hits me up. He's like, hey, what are we doing here? And he's like, shit. But of course, I didn't see GP's post until the credits were rolling at the end. So sat through From the Dark anyway. It's okay. I've seen The Horde a few times. It's a good show. That is all we have on the mail front, my dear. Do you have anything for Kreese? I assume you sent her the topless pics you promised?
Yes.
Very nice.
They were tasteful.
Tasteful topless pics.
No, I had her bra on.
Oh, God damn it. That's like a tease move,
Monica. I had my mom look over them first. she approved them.
Mother approved. I like it. I don't have my mom look over my porn. I feel like there'd be some serious discussions that we'd have to have at some point. Oh, Darian. I hate talking to my mom. I love my mom dearly. But when she calls me, I see her number pop up. And most of the time I'm like, voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that I have anything against her. Mm-hmm. But number one, I hate being on the phone. That's the worst thing ever to me. I just hate it. I love text messaging because that... Having the phone, that, like, cripples me, pretty much. You know, it takes one arm away. I'm on speakerphone, I can never understand her. And then number two, she has this weird thing about talking. She likes to just add extra words.
Oh.
Uses a lot of words. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a word set. Like, it's always been that way.
Uh-huh.
So she calls me and she's like, Darian, let me tell you, I went to work and I had arrived at my usual time. And at which point I got out of the car and was coming into the office. I'm going to get you the fucking point.
That's what my mom does.
Drives me crazy. So she can, I mean, basically she'll call me and say she needs me to look at her car, but it'll take her 25 minutes to get to
get to the point.
Oh, yes. God damn it, Mom.
My mom has an outbreak of mice right now in her house.
Oh, jeez.
So I have been hearing about the mice stories every day.
Oh, God damn it. Speaking of mice, let's get ourselves into a movie here, Monica.
Oh, yeah.
Before I pull my hair out thinking about my mom.
Oh, yeah.
In a forgotten mansion deep in a dismal swampland, a scientist crazed by his lust for revenge repairs the last detail of a diabolical death plan.
A few moments ago, Petro was a man. A harmless, good-natured man. Look at him now. He's no longer human. He's a wolf. Snarling, ferocious, lusting for the kill.
The beast strikes swiftly. The first of four violent, fiendish murders. Into this crime-ridden situation, a reporter finds the biggest story of his career.
What should make a gory enough story for your paper?
This is more than just a story to me. He was my friend.
Joined by the girl he loves, these two follow the gruesome trail of the mad monster. Every lead proves false. Then, one night, a strange, ominous power draws this girl to a rendezvous with death.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Public Domain Month here in the padded room. Swore I was never going to do this again. I don't know why I'm doing it now.
I can't believe in the 40s and 50s, these movies like actually scared people.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Duh. Well, I guess they were new though, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool to watch them now because you kind of get an idea of how far we've come.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, I mean, they're short, so that's probably the best thing about them. Uh-huh. It's like an hour long. Talking about The Mad Monster from 1942, directed by Samuel Newfield, written by Fred Mitten, starring Johnny Downs, George Zucco, and Glenn Strange. Oh, boy, Monica. Woo! I don't think I've ever been this scared in a movie.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
It's fine. I love that 1940s overacting, though. You know what I mean?
Was this supposed to be in London?
I don't think so.
Because
it struck me that they were like in the middle of the jungle. Because every time the monster would go out, there's like vines hanging and like all kinds of crazy plant life and shit.
That was the set from the creature from the
Pretty Black. Much. Yeah. Pretty much. I think they just had like one outdoor set that they would pass around to different.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, your movie starts with a mad scientist type of dude, and he's in his laboratory, and he's got this this poor handyman strapped down to the couch, Petro.
Uh huh.
I like Petro. He's an idiot, but at least he was a friendly idiot. He's like, oh, I don't mind laying on your couch, doctor. Yeah. Why am I strapped down, though? And the doctor's like, so you don't roll off the couch and hurt yourself, you fucking moron. Petro's like, yeah, okay. Because, all right. I'll go down there. I'll let you shoot me up, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to tie me down.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to restrain me. And if I decide that I don't want to be a part of this thing, I'm going to get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You crazy bastard. You can tell this guy's a mad scientist, though, because he has your typical mad scientist setup with all the dry ice and the beakers and the Bunsen burners and shit. He's also got a coyote. It's a coyote.
yes.
in a cage. It's not a wolf.
It's not a wolf.
Everybody refers to it as a wolf. It's a coyote.
I know.
You could tell because the ears are a lot bigger than they should be. And it looked pretty small.
Yeah.
It's got a coyote in a cage. And Petro's like, oh, shit, sure is a pretty wolf you got there. I like wolves. But this doctor's a real fucking prick. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're a simpleton, Petro. That's what it is. You're a simpleton. Again, we get some of that 40s acting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what's happening here is crazy Dr. Laszlo Cameron has made himself like a werewolf serum, and he's been experimenting on the handyman Petro. I don't know. P-E-T-R-O. Petro.
Yes.
But I don't know. Whatever.
I could have sworn I heard somebody call him Pedro.
I think there was a few Pedros got thrown in there.
Okay.
So I don't know about that. All right. So he shoots him up with the werewolf serum. Pedro goes asleep, and then he werewolves out. And you get that time lapse,
mm-hmm.
1940s werewolf transformation, where he basically just grows a bunch of facial hair and a beautiful Donald Trump-esque mane that comes around like a helmet almost.
Yes.
Just encompasses his whole head. It's beautiful. And he gets some sharp teeth, and then he starts with the rawr, 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 rawr. All that fun stuff. The doctor doesn't let him loose this time. He just keeps him strapped to the couch there. But there's a lot of thrashing about and stuff. Eventually, Pedro kind of I'm just going to call him Pedro from now on.
Okay.
Eventually, Pedro snaps out of it and goes back into his human handyman form. And then we get something really weird that happens. The doctor starts talking to ghosts, or what I thought at the time were ghosts, there in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these three other scientists, and they're all making fun of them, but they're like see-through.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were ghosts, but later on we find out that he's just a crazy person, and he's seeing these people in his head. And they're all making fun of him and calling him a charlatan and a imbecile, and his theories are ludicrous. And he's like telling them all off, I just turned this handyman into a fucking werewolf, you assholes. You see that shit? Now I'm going to be on the magazines and you guys laughed at me and I'm going to tell you to suck a dick. He didn't actually say that, but that's the gist of the gist of the conversation in 1942. All right, very cool. So now he's ready to unleash his wrath upon the world. He goes upstairs and we find out that he's basically hiding this laboratory like in the basement of this old mansion. And he's got a very cool secret doorway that leads to it. You got to like push the bookcase and it opens. It's typical Frankenstein type of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
We go upstairs. We meet his daughter. I don't remember what her name was, but she's there and she's pissed off because she doesn't want to be there. And she wants to go back to wherever they came from because she was dating a very hot shot
Lenore.
Reporter. Lenore was her name. Mm-hmm. There you go. And she's dating a reporter, and she wants to hook up with him again, but she can't because they're kind of secluded in this mansion. I don't know, man. Did they just move to a different part of town? Because the reporter and everybody appeared to be within walking distance.
Yeah, they were.
So I don't know how that works exactly. But she's all fired off at her dad. Cut to that night. There's like a lot of howling and stuff going on. Again, I think they were living like in the jungle somewhere because there's like a lot of nighttime scenes and it's like all jungle looking stuff, you know?
So this is almost like a Louisiana kind of area.
Oh, it could be.
Okay.
Sure, I'll buy that. I don't know. So
that sounds like the closest thing.
Yeah, I guess. next morning she comes out and she's talking to Pedro there in the front lawn and she's like, hey, Pedro. What's up with all these animals, man? Freaking me out at night. And he's like, oh, I don't know about animals. I'm just here to keep the garden clean. And as she's having this conversation, Pedro's like, sometimes your dad takes liberties with me. Which is like, what? What is that all about?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, he made me promise not to tell about what goes on in the basement. And she's like, well, you can tell me because, you know, you trust me. He's about to tell her, but then her dad shows up and he's like, Pedro, get your ass in the basement. Yeah. Don't worry about these fucking flowers or anything. God damn it. We got work to do. And she's like, hey, Dad, what the hell's going on with Pedro in the basement? And he's like, he's helping me move boxes. I got a lot of boxes and heavy shit. So don't worry about it. All right. Well, I guess we're just going to write that whole thing off. Mm-hmm. And nobody, that didn't strike anybody as strange at all. Just me.
No, it was strange. I mean, it was weird.
But if I'm the daughter, I'm like, hey, there's some kind of a gay love thing happening here.
Yeah.
It's probably best that you don't ask questions. But there is the chance opportunity that you might walk into a sexual tryst between Dad and Pedro.
Oh, my.
just get me the fuck out of here is what I'm saying. Just let me go date the reporter guy and we'll call it even. All right, so Pedro's down in the basement. Nightfall hits. The doctor shoots him up again, and he's like, I'm going to show those goddamn doctors. This time he lets Pedro out of his restraints.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro just goes walking out into the jungle there.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to a nearby cabin, and there's some guy running. I guess he's fucking hunting or something. He's got like a shotgun on him, and he sees Pedro, and he's like, holy shit, there's a beast out there. He goes hauling ass back to the cabin. Okay, so he gets in there, and there's like 25 people living in this single-bedroom cabin. There's like an old lady smoking a pipe, and she's like, that's the goddamn werewolf. Did you shoot him with a silver bullet? And the guy's like, you're a crazy old lady. They got a little girl living in there, too, and that sucks. She goes to bed, and apparently she forgot to close her window because Pedro just kind of reaches in and monkey paws her, gives her like a, facial squeeze. I don't know. Apparently that's bad business because we're just going to go ahead and say that Pedro killed the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell because her ball rolls out into the living room.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know when a kid has been killed. There's always a ball, like in the public service announcements keep an eye on your kid.
Yeah.
There's always like a kid playing with a ball and then a car speeds by and then the ball rolls. So basically what I'm telling you is that Deacon is not allowed to play with balls.
Good.
His entire life. Just on the off chance that one might roll by without him. So basically Pedro has killed this little girl somehow. I don't know. I don't know if he ate her or what.
I thought he took her out the window.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But in a minute we're going to meet the lynch mob and they're like, well, yeah, it's creepy. So... but the cool part about that is that once Pedro kills a little girl, he just kind of nonchalantly moseys back to the mansion there and goes back into the secret entrance and lays back down on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor is like, hey, there's blood all over this dude. Apparently he killed himself some deer or something. I don't know. But Pedro kind of snaps out of it, turns back into the handyman. And the doctor's like, well, Pedro, you've done very well this evening. And Pedro's like, I must have been walking in my sleep again, doctor. Is there anything you can do to fix that? And the doctor's like, yeah, I'll strap you back to the couch there. Okay. Now the doctor's like, okay, I've got myself a weapon here. So I'm going to go ahead and turn him loose on these three asswipe doctors that keep making fun of me in my own head. So him and his daughter and Pedro are walking to town, and they get stopped in the swamp/jungle/forest by a lynch mob. And by a lynch mob, I mean like six guys with shotguns and overalls on.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, there's a goddamn wild animal out here. Jeb said it walks on 2 feet, but Jeb's crazy. But it killed this little girl in the fucking... She left her window open and it killed her, so we got to go kill this wild animal. And you could tell Pedro's like, oh, shit, I don't know, man. I think that might have been me because he starts raking. Look around.
Yeah.
You're out in the middle of the fucking jungle. What are you doing? What are you raking out there? I don't know. I don't know what you're doing, Pedro. so then, clearly the doctor puts it together and he's like, hey, I don't know anything about wild animals, but go kill it, find it and kill it. And don't worry about my handyman here. He just likes to rake the jungle up from time to time.
Gardening.
That's what it is.
Growing vegetables out there.
Totally. So now they go into town and they see the one of the asshole doctors. Dr. Cameron is like, hey, you fuckface. I have proven my theory and I'm going to come over to your place and I'm going to show you that I've proven my theory and you can quit making fun of me in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets over there, he takes Pedro with him. Now, honestly, he has no intention of proving any theory. He wants Pedro to wolf out so he can kill this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing. He wants revenge. He doesn't want to break any science codes or anything. So he gets over there, and he's like, hey, I'm here to prove this theory. Oh, shit. I forgot my thingy. I'm going to have to go back and get it. I tell you what I want you to do, though. At midnight, I want you to inject Pedro with this stuff. Pedro's cool with it. Right, Pedro? Pedro's like, oh, sure, yeah. So the Dr. Cameron hauls ass out of there, and he's like, yeah, once he's going to shoot him up, and then wolf time, and then dead scientist. But as soon as he leaves, that doctor, Dr. Blaine, calls his buddy, Dr. Fitzgerald. He's like, hey, get a load of this shit, man. Mm-hmm. This crazy doctor fucker just showed up on my doorstep. He's got his crazy handyman with him. He wants me to give him some kind of goddamn injection. Fitzgerald is like, yeah, that guy's a nutbag. I'll be right over. I don't want any kind of craziness. So as Fitzgerald's leaving, though, Dr. Cameron is going to Fitzgerald's house to get him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something clearly is fishy here, because Cameron and Fitzgerald are walking to Blaine's house, and again, Cameron is like, I forgot my thingy. I'm going to have to go back to the house. You go on to Blaine's house there, and I'll see you when I get there. He's like, yeah, okay. Now we cut back to Blaine's house. Werewolf time.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots him up. I think Dr. Blaine, like, fell asleep, though,
because
he's, like, writing on his desk. He shoots Pedro up, and he's like, well, there's your injection. And Pedro's like, okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
And then he just kind of like slumps over in his desk.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not aware that the dude 3 feet away from you is turning into a werewolf? Because that guy, he puts on some size, you know, yeah, what I mean, when he goes into wolf mode. And then he just basically sneaks up on him from 3 feet away and apparently kills him. You don't actually get to see it, but cut to cops, and Fitzgerald shows up, and there's a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Old Pedro is hauled ass in werewolf mode. Gets there. He's like, oh, shit, what happened to this guy? I don't know. And then in comes old Dr. Cameron. He's like, hey, I was going to put on my demonstration. What happened here? Like, well, Blaine's dead, and there's blood everywhere, and I don't know. We think an animal got in here and attacked him. And in one of the the dumbest, fucking most lackluster incognito moves ever, Cameron just reaches out and hides his syringes.
Yeah.
Is anybody paying attention at all? Because he wasn't subtle about that at all.
I think they were too overwhelmed looking at the body. Maybe it was, I don't know.
I think
the neck or something.
I think it was their first dead body.
Maybe.
They're like taking selfies with it and everything.
Oh, I don't know where people were thinking it was an animal.
I don't know, man. Well, Cameron was there and he's like, hey, I'm a doctor. That was clearly an animal attack there. I mean, there's no way my handyman Pedro did that, so don't even think about talking to him about anything. The guy's a moron anyway. Fitzgerald's like, animal attack, huh? You've been acting pretty strange this whole time. What's your fucking deal, dude? He's like, I gotta go. I'm gonna go do some more tests and stuff, so I'll see you guys later. Takes off out of there. Now we cut back to the daughter. She's getting officially freaked out. Dead bodies are starting to pile up. She's like, what the fuck is this shit? And we get to finally meet her hotshot reporter boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And he looks exactly like a reporter from the 40s should look. He's got a tie on that's about 6 inches long, but that's okay because he's got his pants pulled
all the way up
to his nipples. Very cool. I'd like to bring that look back. I thought it looked pretty dapper.
Oh, that would be a good Halloween costume
for
you.
40s
yeah.
reporter guy.
Uh-huh.
Hot stuff,
you need
man.
The hat.
I got to have the hat.
You got to have
I'll
the
put
hat.
The little press thing in there and mm-hmm. get a big stupid camera to wave at people. It's
yes.
hot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking questions, too. He's like, hey, give me a story here, because there's dead guys, and I think I got something for the Sunday edition. So he starts by talking to Dr. Fitzgerald. He's like, hey, what about these animal attacks? He's like, I don't know anything about animals, but so I don't know. I don't know what you're doing there. So then, all right. So I'm assuming that this mansion that Dr. Cameron is living in is, like, remote or something.
That's what it's supposed to be like.
Okay, so the reporter just walks up to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron pops out and he's like, hey, how did you know I was here? How did you get here? The reporter's like, I just kind of walked up here. So, I mean, I see your driveway and I know that my girlfriend is your daughter, so I thought I'd stop by. Cameron's like, you get the fuck out of here right now. The reporter's like, I'm not leaving without a story, see? So we're going to sit down and have us a 22 skidoo.
Yeah, there were a lot of mismatches in here.
A lot of weird stuff, man. I felt like this movie was made in like a weekend just because they had some extra film stock and somebody wanted to try out their werewolf special effects.
Maybe.
Whatever. It's good times. The reporter's like, hey, all these dead bodies are kind of like popping up around your property here. And I know that Dr. fucking Blaine made fun of you in the newspaper for your stupid idea. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know anything about Dr. Blaine. He said I was a madman and a charlatan. And it's funny, in the 40s, people just pronounced words however they wanted to.
Oh.
You're a madman. No, I'm a madman. What?
Okay.
All right. That's kind of strange. I guess it's just the dialect of the era.
Hmm.
Okay. That's kind of weird. So now this reporter could conceivably be a problem now because he may or may not know what's going on. So Dr. Cameron, I don't think he really liked that guy nailing his daughter either.
Because
he's like, the second time he shows up, he's like, you printed those stories about me, you son of a bitch. You get the hell out of here and quit finger banging my daughter, you son of a bitch. All right, that's weird. Now we cut into fucking werewolf mode again. We're about to unleash Petro to go get Dr. Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
The plan is, and I don't know how well this was thought out, was to lure Fitzgerald back to the mansion, get him down in the dungeon there, and then put Petro in werewolf mode and let him rip him up. Fitzgerald shows up. He comes in there, he's like, hey, you got some proof for me about this nutbag theory or what? And he's like, yeah, come on in. Let me take you down to the secret passageway here, and I'm going to show you what's up.
Mm-hmm.
He gets down there, and then Fitzgerald is like, this place is fucking nutty. You got your guy over here strapped down against his will. I am piecing the fuck out of here, and I don't want any argument out of you, mister. So Cameron is like, okay, well, that's fine. If you don't want to see it, then that's on you. Just if you're going back into town, could you take Petro here with you? Because he needs to get some gardening stuff, and go ahead and take him with you there. So Fitzgerald's like, yeah, sure. Of course, Petro was just injected with the werewolf thing. So they get to drive in. They're driving through the jungle / swamp / wherever the hell they are. Halfway through the car ride, Petro werewolves out and causes a major car accident.
Mm-hmm.
They go spinning off into the fucking shrubbery or whatever it is. car accident. Petro gets out. I think he kind of attacked Fitzgerald in the front seat, but we find out that Fitzgerald's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow survived the accident and the werewolf attack. And Petro is now running around the back lot there, possibly harassing some people. Oh, fucking shit. That puts a whole new paint job on things,
oh,
dude.
Oh, boy.
All right, so the cops show up. They pull Fitzgerald out of the wreckage there, and they're like, oh, shit, we should probably get him to a hospital. But then somebody's like, hey, the old mansion is right there. Let's just take him there instead. There's Dr. Cameron there. He's got a doctorate in something, so maybe he knows how to stop some bleeding or something. So they take him to the mansion there, and Cameron is like, oh, shit, don't bring him here. First off, he's supposed to be dead. He's not. Yeah. Second off, if he wakes up, he's going to tell everybody that Petro's a werewolf and that I'm a mad scientist and I'm going to have a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad news. The good news is that as that they're getting situated with Fitzgerald up in the upper floors, Petro has come back to the secret passageway into the laboratory there, and he's just like, rah, 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 rah. The growling from Petro. That guy needs to step up his growl game a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
For the most part, it sounded like he was just clearing his throat.
Yes.
Come on, Petro. You can do better than that. He comes in, and now he's kind of somewhat cognizant, I'd say, a little bit. Like, he's still in wolf mode, but he was never really, like, a beast. Like, when you saw him in wolf mode, he was just kind of moseying around.
Yeah.
You know? When I think werewolf, I think like Lon Chaney Jr. werewolf, who would get like the, he would run and, you know.
Maybe because he was slow anyway.
You picked retard.
Yeah, I know.
To make him, you gotta get somebody with like a, you know.
A mean streak.
Get him bodybuilder or yeah, like an ex-gangbanger. Yeah. Make him a werewolf. He's gonna fuck some shit up.
Oh, yeah.
You picked the tardo? Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Because nobody cares what happens to that guy.
I know, but still, you want to do some damage, not get a bunch of garden care equipment. Come on, man. So Pedro in werewolf mode, Mosey's back into the laboratory, and the fucking doctor has like a bull whip, and he's like, that son of a bitch is going to come in here, and I'm going to whip him until he gets back on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
That he comes in, but then he kind of attacks the doctor. He doesn't really kill him, but he kind of roughs him up and knocks a bunch of shit over. And this is when something really stupid happens. Lightning strikes the laboratory through the window and basically sets the mansion on fire. Call that divine intervention, if you will. So now the place is on fire. We've got near-death Fitzgerald upstairs and half-tarred Pedro, werewolf, kind of stalking the mansion and fucking some shit up. Kind of knocks the doctor on his ass, goes hauling ass upstairs. The reporter is there, too, and him and his girlfriend, the doctor's daughter, are trying to, like, they were trying to, I think the reporter wanted a story out of Fitzgerald to get his words when he woke up, and the girlfriend is there, and she's like, oh, Carl, you're here. Why don't we just hold each other or whatever? But now there's this werewolf in the mansion, and he's kind of chasing him around, too. Doctor comes to, goes upstairs. He's going to try to, again, with the bullwhip on Pedro, but Pedro just, this time, he just kills him. And he does that 1940s werewolf kill move where it's basically like a Vulcan death pinch.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of grab him by the shoulders, and then your victim just goes, ah, shit, and then sinks down. It's like a shoulder rub massage, except you die at the end.
I never even really paid attention.
Watch the original Wolfman. That's the only way he kills people. It's just, it's not on the neck, though. It's on the shoulders, and then you just kind of push down, and then
Yeah, I can see how that, I can see that scene in my head, but I never really put it together.
That's all it is. And then, you know, I mean, is that a viable form of self-defense? Because if it is, I'm just going to start running around pushing shoulders down. I don't know, man. Anyway, the doctor's dead, so that's cool, because he was a prick anyway. And your mansion catches on fire. The young lovers make it out. They manage to get Fitzgerald out of there, too. They get a good glimpse of Pedro, and then the reporter is like, hey, that's Pedro the gardener, see? Your dad must have been experimenting on him the whole time. Yeah, that's what it was. Now they turn him into a goddamn werewolf. 22 Skidoo. And then they get out, and then the fucking credits roll, and that's your movie. Yeah! Mad monster, Monica.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Got a kill count of 3 on this one. It's fine. It's 1942. What do you expect? I would put this in the league of like party movies or something that's ripe for a riff track. If you had like a horror themed bar and you or a restaurant and you just needed something on the TVs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's there you go.
There you go.
Not scary at all. No nudity, no gore, black and white.
So I'm taking then he survived, right?
Who, Pedro?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You just kind of see him running around the mansion there as it's on fire.
Okay. Because it looks like he played in another movie called The Monster Maker with the same name.
Really? Pedro?
Yeah, yeah, right.
There's
there.
A sequel to The Mad... Get the fuck out of here. I wonder if that's in my box set. The Monster Walks, The Monster Maker.
The Monster Maker.
1944, baby.
Wow.
I don't think we'll be watching.
Okay. Well, if anybody was curious.
I may check that out just because now I'm fucking curious about Pedro and his Donald Trump werewolf stylings. It's fine. I got a kill count of 3 on this one. It's 1942. It's public domain. You can watch this for free on YouTube anytime you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the public domain box sets, you'll find that in the Horror Classics Anniversary Edition. And that's that. You got anything else on the Mad Monster there, Monica?
No. This dude was 6'6". That was really big back then.
Glenn Strange?
Yes.
It looked like they padded him up a little bit, though. Like when he was overalls.
Shoulder pads.
The shoulders and the chest.
Yeah.
I get it. You're supposed to be a big strapping dude, but you're not really... You look like a... Look like you're going to play for the Raiders with that outfit on.
Wow, it's crazy. He played in quite a bit of the old 40s horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Abbott and Costello. I didn't know those. Yeah. Huh.
Good times.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's take us a little break, and we'll get back with some new stuff. It's time for Three on a Meat Hook.
Three on a Meat Hook.
This week's Meat Hook, we're talking about black and white movies since we're in the world of public domain. May I start us off with my number three?
Yes.
It's a newer movie. I know you've seen it. Most people have. I'm going Human Centipede 2. on the black and white front.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Nobody thinks about Human Centipede 2 in the black and white world, my friend.
Wow.
What a creepy fucking movie that is, huh?
That's really the only good one.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at the first one. I've yet to see the third one because everybody hates it so much.
Oh.
And now I'm scared.
Yeah.
Human Centipede 2, nasty. That dude with the fucking hanging around in his underwear in his mom's shitty apartment all the time.
Yes. What was his name?
Creepy fat guy is what I call. I don't know.
Huh.
Crazy movie, man. Something to think about, though, is that sometimes black and white can work just for the aesthetic of the film.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to go old school with it.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good movie. Bit guttural, like the pregnant chick. He has to remove her from the centipede because she's about to give birth.
Oh.
That's dirty, man. That is dirty.
Well, you could have left her at the end.
That probably would have been a better idea. Otherwise, somebody's going to get a mouthful of baby.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Mouthful of baby.
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
Oh, that's gross, man. That's gross. But it's a good... If you can stomach it, I think it's a good show, and I think it's a sterling example of how black and white can work, even with today's technology. Hmm. Monica, what do you think about number three there, kid?
Well, this isn't a horror movie.
Okay. That's fine.
But it's called The Jungle Book, the original one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Did you remember seeing that one?
No, not a black and white version.
Oh, wow.
Seeing the cartoon.
Oh, no. I think it was from 1940 or 42.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This kid named Sabu plays in it.
Yeah.
He was a favorite of mine. He also played in, like, The Thief of Baghdad or the...
So is it just like the telling of the Disney story, but live action? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a good movie.
How do you swing a talking bear in there?
Well, this is like animals. It's really a story. There's no talking animals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just animals.
Yeah. And the people. It's mostly the people in the movie.
All right. I'm not familiar with any of it, so.
Oh, really?
I remember
I'm not familiar with like the newer ones. Cartoons and, I guess, talking animals in it?
Yes.
Is that what? Oh, yeah. I'm not familiar with any of that.
Me neither. Very cool. My number two is going to be the original House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price.
Mm.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that old, the maid, that scene where she's behind the wall and she's like got the claws out. It scared the crap out of me.
Wow.
Because they played up the violins and the dramatic music there. Whoo!
Mm-hmm.
With the old maid. Fucking scary. And Vincent Price was just such a smooth motherfucker, too.
He was.
I didn't care for the ending when he's got the skeleton in the acid pit. And he wheels him out on that big, stupid contraption. And he's like, I just killed my wife, but she was a cheating whore. So we'll let the courts decide how this goes. Well, you're a murderer.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't that mad at the remake either.
No, the remake was pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the sanitarium angle they took with it. And Chris Kattan was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too mad at that.
Yeah.
That's my number two, Monica. What do you got on number two?
I think my number two is going to be The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Silent film, that one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked that one. I felt bad for him.
You had to, right?
It was so sad.
Yeah. He's such a... That was Lon Chaney Sr., if I'm not mistaken.
Let me see here.
And they uglied him right the fuck up.
Yes. It is a sad movie.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a cartoon of that one, too?
I guess, apparently, they've made a couple remakes of it.
It doesn't surprise me.
I don't ever like to watch the remakes of the originals.
Not bad. I mean, sometimes they do a good job, sometimes they don't. I mean, look at it's not my number one, but look at the original Dracula.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. I mean, all respect to Bela Lugosi, but that's a silly movie, you know? And you watch the Gary Oldman version and you're like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
There is tits and blood and fucking guy turns into a big bat thing. Wow. And then you watch the Bela Lugosi one and you're like, oh, this is a fucking guy in a cape.
yes.
That's what you got. There's a guy in a cape. Perfect. My number one is going to be my all-around number one horror film of all time, the original Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Fucking screwed me up as a kid. Yes. Fuck you.
Oh, wow.
What I couldn't get my head around is that it was happening on a global level.
Uh-huh.
Because normally you watch a horror movie and you're like, well, I'm not going to Transylvania. I'm not going out in the woods to smoke weed. I'm not going to, if my car breaks down, I'm going to sit in the fucking car until somebody finds me. I'm not going into the woods.
Oh, okay, you know? Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead, that they brought it to your front door, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Freaked me out the whole time. I'm like, hey, Dad, how we doing on wood? We got hammers and nails and stuff. Just making sure, you know, you never know what the fucking Venus probe is going to come back with.
That was a terrifying movie for people when it came out.
Oh, yeah, man.
Because they didn't know it could happen.
Oh, yeah. And that was the first time we saw malicious zombies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'd seen zombies in other movies up to that point, but they were usually like slave labor or some other, you know, background element. Mm-hmm. These ones, they're coming to your house and they're looking to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care if you have half a blonde head or not, Monica. they're going for you, babe. You're in trouble. I go Night of the Living Dead on number one.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, you already said my number one is going to have to be Dracula.
Oh, that's okay. That's not bad.
That's just because it was one of the first movies I watched with my dad as a little kid.
Nice.
And it was, you know, as he explained, the 50s, stuff like that was scary to them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, like, I remember he really liked The Fly.
That was a good one.
The original Fly. Yeah, so definitely.
That's cool.
But Nat, when you brought that up, I remember when the bat, you could see the string on the bat.
You know, there's like a dude with a fishing line off camera shaking the bat. That dude never got any credit. I was the bat shaker in Dracula. I had to stand over there and shake the bat. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you know what? There was also like War of the Worlds.
That was a good one.
I didn't even think about that,
that
one.
That was one of the first ones that got colorized. Remember when they first started?
Oh, was that one of the ones?
It looked horrible, man.
Mm.
The colorizations.
I never saw the color version.
They would put just go crazy with the pastels and stuff.
Oh,
so you had people with like pink skin, and it's really weird. Looked like a 2-year-old did it, like with his crayons or something.
Wow, I just remember the original.
Yeah.
Huh.
The original. Maybe I should better
YouTube the remake, the color version
with the green skies and all that weirdness. What is this? This is War of This World, not some other world. Very cool. Dracula, now it's a good show. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the book. One of the things I liked the most about the original was the big sweeping landscapes and the sets they used, like for Dracula's castle.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah. I know the second one that I watched that my mom forbid me was Andy Warhol's Dracula.
That got a little weird.
That, I watched it with my dad, but she was very angry about that,
that
one.
That one got a little, on the, what is all this here? I mean, Udo Kier is good.
Yes,
right?
I like him.
Me too, and he plays a pretty creepy Dracula, but it's like, I don't know about this guy with his crazy big eyes and his German accent. Yeah. Andy Warhol, man. Keep it in your pants, Andy. Jeez.
Isn't that that's also I know he did a Frankenstein one.
Yeah, he did. I think it was Blood for Dracula and Flesh for Frankenstein.
Okay.
Frankenstein one was even weirder.
Which one had it where the lady was sleeping with the, she used to say, get off my property. Get off my property to the handyman.
Yeah, after she'd nail him, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. Weird. Weird business. Alrighty, that is your meat hook for the week, kids. If you want to let us know what your three favorite black and white movies are, you can feel free. Go right ahead. It's thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com, or you can get us on the mental health hotline at 206-309-9117.
Yes, I want to hear what other people's are.
I bet Kevin's got a good one, except one of them's not going to be black and white because he couldn't figure out that John Carpenter did not direct It. Although, since I should probably double check that because I have been wrong about stuff.
He did not. I double checked it.
You see that, Kevin? Get your act together, will you? Maybe there's a Japanese version that he did. All right, let's get into the meat hook here, or the pterodome, shall we?
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I tried you crazy. Kill you! I'll be the greatest dream come true!
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. With blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Pterodome.
It's Pterodome time. Let's talk about last week's winners. I was going to say a couple of upsets, but not even close. The teams competition was close, but it came out okay. In singles competition, closing out the Asylum Conference, we had Pyramid Head versus the Creeper. Slashed, stabbed, disemboweled, and split in half, the creature kept coming. It wanted the body of Alessa Gillespie and wouldn't stop until it achieved her. But her protector was relentless. Dragging the creeper deep into the hellfire proved more than his unholy metabolism could withstand. Pyramid Head emerged. The creeper did not. With a vote of 10-3, Pyramid Head advances over the creeper. I'm okay with that. And you are still alive, Miss Monica. Let's take a look at the teams division. We had the Werewolf Pack versus the Nightbreed. The full moon brought the beast to Midian. Their speed and ferocity tore a great number of breed to shreds. But in the end, Lylesburg's decision to unleash the Berserkers brought the confrontation to a bloody end. And with a vote of 9-4, the Nightbreed advance over the Werewolf Pack. GP will be excited to hear that. You better be. Alrighty, let's get into this week's matchups. Singles competition. Well, let's take a look at the tournament now that we've closed out the preliminary rounds. The Inferno Conference, we have singles division. Colonel Herzog versus Carrie White. We're about to get into that. Candyman versus Herbert West. Dracula versus Ash. And Kayako versus Chucky. The Asylum Conference, we have Frankenstein versus Jason Voorhees. Freddy Krueger versus Samara. Leatherface versus Jigsaw. And Pinhead versus Pyramid Head. That's going to be a tough one right there. I can tell you right now. Jigsaw versus Leatherface. That's another one. Oh, it's getting bloody up in here. All right, this week's matchups. Now in the semifinals, Inferno Conference Singles Division. I should tell you that this one is brought to us by our old friend Alan. He does good work, that Alan. Having government contracts paid off well for the Umbrella Corporation, they were able to go into Chamberlain, Maine and handle the cleanup of the White incident. They told everyone that Carrie White was dead, but they actually found her near death and nursed back to health. They needed her. Umbrella had heard about a new type of zombie in Norway, but every unit they had sent over there had been slaughtered. They thought maybe this girl with her gifts could capture them. Carrie stood on a snowbank surrounded by pieces of dead and rotting Nazi zombie. The voice over her comm set told her to try and keep at least one alive. She looked up and saw an SS colonel rise out of the snow with an MG-42. Singles competition, we have Carrie White versus Colonel Herzog. I'm taking Herzog because he's my guy. We think, Monica. I don't see how he actually wins this. But
yeah, I'm taking Carrie even though he's a favorite.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I don't, I'm just, I'd like to keep my stuff if my wife will let me this year. So I'm taking Colonel Herzog there, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at the teams competition. We're doubling down on the Umbrella Corporation this week. That's pretty good stuff. The Eastern Europeans had become quite the asset, making money where it was previously thought that there was none to be made. Granted, their operation was crude and barbaric, but any industry catering to the vices of people was bound to have a seedy side. Financial gains notwithstanding, they served a second purpose as well. The procurement and later disposal of fresh test subjects. The Umbrella Corporation was in constant need of human guinea pigs for various nuclear and biological weapons programs, and the elite hunting company was able to supply them in abundance. Then negotiations fell apart. The Europeans wanted more money. The Umbrella Corp had it to give, but refused to do so on principle. Then high-ranking executives within the corporation began disappearing. Damaging information started getting leaked to various hacker groups, and the Umbrella Corporation was, for the first time ever, hemorrhaging money. It was widely understood but never spoken of in the boardroom, but the source of all these problems were the former business partners in Eastern Europe, a liability now that would have to be dealt with militarily. Teams competition we have, the Umbrella Corporation versus the Elite Hunting Company. I think Umbrella has way too many resources and money to throw at the problem. I'm taking Umbrella.
Yeah, me too.
That's two for the Umbrella Corporation. Mm-hmm. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the week. In singles, we have Kerry White versus Colonel Herzog. Teams, we have the Umbrella Corp versus the Elite Hunting Company. And that's how that goes.
Hmm.
All righty. Let's get into a little what are you looking at then. I have an extra movie since I got the immersion therapy fucked up. It's stupid.
What are you looking at?
From the Dark from 2014. Set that as last week's immersion therapy before we changed it. Not a bad show. Mm. Irish countryside.
Mm-hmm.
What a bleak, abysmal place that is, huh?
Mm.
Just fields of grass and
I have no
skies.
Desire to go there.
I wouldn't mind going to Ireland.
Uh-huh.
But to be honest with you, everything I've seen of it kind of looks like a giant ghetto.
Oh.
With a lot of bars. I watched a documentary a couple months ago called Knuckle, I think, about Irish, what are they? They're like traveler families. They're basically gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And they challenge each other to these bare-knuckle boxing matches with huge cash prizes.
Okay.
Dude, they beat the living snot out of each other. It's kind of cool how they do it, though, because it's like very organized. They have referees. There's a lot of rules that they have to follow.
It's kinda real neat. Fighting, though.
It is, dude. These guys don't take shit from anybody. From the Dark, not a bad show. Maybe we'll reset that one as immersion therapy somewhere down the line. It's a pretty good show. It's got some zombie action and stuff.
Hmm.
Holy Ghost People from 2013. Snake handlers in the weird churchy groups.
Oh.
Freak me out, man.
Yeah.
Anybody that's too religious, I don't want any part of that. You know what I mean?
I consider them Satan people. You're handling snakes.
Yeah, you know, there is that. This one has that kid in it. We see that this kid pop up all the time. He was in Frankenstein Theory. He was in The Violent Kind. He's a real scrawny kid, but he's handsome.
Oh, that he's got a different look.
Very distinct looking.
Yes,
he's not,
okay.
He's not ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull him up real quick here. He pops up in like every third horror movie.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
But
he kind of reminds me of that other guy that played in Gone in 60 Seconds.
What other guy? Oh, Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I know.
That's exactly the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in like one of those I Spit on Your Grave remakes or something. Holy Ghost People. His name is Joe Edgender.
Okay.
And he was also in Hunger, Frankenstein Theory, bunch of The Diabolical, bunch of CSI stuff, Mercy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's in there. He plays this crazy evangelical dude, and he's like dancing with snakes and shit. Mm. This girl's sister goes missing, so her and her buddy go up to the weird compound to try to find her. They have to like join the cult to get the information, though. Fuck that. I'm not joining your stupid cult, man. It wasn't a bad show. Mm-hmm. Lastly, Dark House from 2014, written and directed by Victor Salva. Jeepers Creepers and pedophilia fame. Mm. Not a very good movie, man.
No.
And that's, I want to go on record as stating that that's not tainted by my disdain for pedophilia. Mm. It's just not a good show. It's like this, this kid has visions and then he inherits a house. So he manages to track down the actual house after his mom dies. And then we get this weird backstory about angels and demons fighting inside the house.
Oh.
And there's this stupid thing. There's like, the house is surrounded by axemen,
uh-huh.
but they move like monkeys, and they all have long hair and trench coats.
Oh.
And they kind of move in formations. And
okay.
It's not very good, huh. I didn't think it was good. Hmm. So I'm looking at, babe, what do you got this week?
Well, I finally watched Poltergeist.
The remake?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Have you watched
it? I have.
Okay, I wanted to jump in there and seriously beat that little boy. I couldn't think of how many things I wanted to do to that little pussy.
He was a dickbag.
Oh my God. But yeah, I thought the movie sucked.
What I couldn't get past was Sam Rockwell just looking completely disinterested the entire time. The scene that killed it for me was right after the daughter goes into the TV,
uh-huh.
and the wife is having a spaz attack. She's like, "We need to call the cops. We're gonna get Sam Rockwell, cool as a cucumber. Honey, we can't call the cops. They're not gonna believe us. Our daughter went into the TV. What are we gonna do? Your daughter is missing. You son of a. Show some emotion here, man.
Yeah, you know? The acting was really bad in this movie.
I usually like Sam Rockwell. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done some great stuff. Just check the fuck out of this one, though.
Yeah, even the wife. I couldn't even stomach the wife in this movie.
Yeah.
The lady that played the paranormal chick,
mm-hmm.
I like her because I used to watch her on Hung.
Yeah, she was great in Hung. That was a great show. Yeah, I missed that show.
I watched Jurassic World.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Nice.
I loved it.
Chris Pratt, right?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. I was like crying at the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, if you watch it, you'll see why.
No, but dog trauma, I bet.
No, somebody dinosaur dog trauma.
Oh, jeez, with the dinosaurs.
I watched the new I Spit on Your Grave.
Mm. I heard good things.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty good?
Pretty good.
Nice.
I can't even imagine who sits around and thinks of these torture scenes for men.
Ugh. I'm expecting some penis trauma.
A woman hater.
Probably.
Or no, man hater. Man hater.
Some angry lesbian somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to get him, and I'm going to punch him in the balls, and then I'm going to put a shotgun up his butt.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Sure. Take it easy, Janice. It's going to be fine.
And then I watched Deathgasm.
Oh, you saw Deathgasm.
Yes.
Did it meet your expectations?
Yes.
Pretty good stuff?
Yeah.
Looked to me like just one giant death metal video.
It's music video,
which is fine. I'm into it.
It's got a Tucker and Dale.
Right on.
Poltergeist feel.
Did you ever watch that show Todd and the Book of Pure Evil?
Uh-uh.
That's a pretty good show.
Is it?
I kind of got that vibe, too.
Oh, okay.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It was definitely funny for heavy metal people like me will like it.
I think you'll like Todd in the Book of Pure Evil,
too. Oh, okay.
You might check that out.
I'll check that out.
Right on.
And then I think that's all I watched.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into some immersion therapy, then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and check out Deathgasm tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, since everybody's raving about the I Spit on Your Grave thing, I got a lot more free time now that mm-hmm. I'm done beating your friend at running. Because that took up a good chunk of my time right there. So hopefully I can start watching movies again.
Immersion therapy.
What'd you think of The Horde, babe?
I loved it.
Good show, right? Mm-hmm. I like the cop drama. I don't mind that being mixed in with the zombie action. Mm-hmm. I like a nice little subplot. And I also like the way that they have to work together there just to survive.
Yes.
You know, and those zombies were fucking motivated.
Yes.
You know, these weren't your laissez-faire
no.
sit on the couch and wait for brains to come to me zombies.
I got goosebumps thinking about it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Made me think, what am I doing with my life? I should be out eating brains or something.
I kind of liked how they didn't even give you like an explanation.
No, those are usually the best ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no reason or rhyme. Just go with it.
I like that. something I think in the zombie subgenre that we need a little bit more of, though, is the microcosm of, like, zombie number one. That's what one of the things I like so much about Contracted.
Mm-hmm.
And phase two was all right. But, you know, just seeing Patient Zero and how that came about and then watching it go from there, I think it's kind of neat. It kind of got a little bit of that in this, but we didn't really get any kind of explanation, which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I like all the gunplay. It kind of had... did you ever see a movie called The Raid?
Mm-mm.
You should check that out. If you're in the mood for an action flick that is absolutely on crack,
oh, okay.
Check out The Raid.
Oh, okay.
It is some of the craziest, but it kind of got kind of reminded me of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In that one, they're doing a police raid on this drugged out apartment building, but halfway through it, they realize that the drug dealers outnumber the SWAT team. And
excellent.
Have been waiting for the SWAT team to show up so that they
all right.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
I liked how they had all of these weapons in this abandoned shithole building.
Well, it was like a crack house, though, kind of a situation.
Yeah, and this was the landlord's.
Sure.
That cracked me up. Sure. I was like, wow.
It's like the underneath the gas station in Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
What? There's a arsenal underneath your gas station that you realize there's gas pumps right outside.
Yeah.
And if this place blows, it's going to be a thermonuclear meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do there, Stephen King. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Exeter from 2015. That's Exeter. Exeter. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Mm.
Starring Kelly Blatz and Brittany Curran, directed by Marcus Nispel. This sounds like your standard Halloween fair movie. Kids break into an abandoned situation.
Oh, okay.
Probably doesn't work out too well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Partying in abandoned places.
Sounds fun to me.
Good chance you're going to get your dick sucked. Also a good probably an equal chance that you're going to get killed or possessed. Or
then I want to go.
I'm in. You had me at dick sucking. Alrighty, that's your immersion therapy for the weekend, mates. Let's get a little werewolf action, shall we?
The Company of Wolves.
So, the challenge is over.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend challenged me to 65 miles in 30 days. I did it in 10, just because I could. I left his fate in your hands, my dear. I said, do you want me to play with him, or do you want me to put him away?
Put him away.
I put him away for you.
Put him away.
I went a little crazy on the full moon. 17 miles.
Wow.
Like a champion. Ran from here to the freeway and back.
Mm-hmm.
Took a day off from there. Came back, did another 10-miler on the treadmill at the gym. Had planned on just doing like 2 or 3 miles because my feet kind of hurt after that.
Mm-hmm.
And got on the treadmill, started listening to a podcast. Before I knew it, I clicked out 10.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was like, well, all right, that's good for tonight. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, I walked into the gym. I was at the 42-mile mark or the 52-mile mark. I just ran 10 miles, so now I'm at the 62, which puts me 3 miles away from ending this.
Mm-hmm.
I can crawl 3 miles. This ends tonight, sugar, and that's what happened. For future reference, though, if any of your other friends want to challenge me, four marathons, two Tough Mudders, three Spartan races. I don't know how many 5 and 10K. You've seen my trophy wall. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I like to think it's impressive.
Yeah, that's badass.
So that's done. Tell your friend, though, if it makes him feel any better, I think I'm going to lose a toenail. So.
Oh, okay.
That's what's happening. I'm going to take this week off.
Uh-huh.
But something I'd like to bring up, though, is that one of the only benefit to doing this is getting to enjoy the runner's diet, which is you eat whatever the hell you want and as much of it as you can shove in your face. And you sleep as much as you can, and then you just run your ass off. And I actually ended up losing like 9 pounds. Since the whole thing started.
Wow.
And I've been eating like a madman.
Wow.
Whole pizzas, breadsticks, pasta, whatever. I don't care. Yeah. Give it to me. I'm going to eat it.
Running but is awesome.
My metabolism is picking up too. Mm-hmm. So I'm hungry all the fucking time. And when I'm not hungry, I have to go to the bathroom. So those are the two modalities that I've been in since your friend challenged me. Cool. But that's over with. He put up a good fight, though. He stayed neck and neck with me for a little while.
Yeah.
And then I just said, all right.
Well, then he got pissy about it.
Oh, sweetie.
Whatever.
It happens. No, I talked to him a little bit over the Nike GPS thing. You know, he seems all right. Seems like an all right guy.
Okay.
If he wants to challenge me again, I'm happy to do this again. Or tell him if he wants to actually run with me, we can hook up. I'll go down to Carson and run with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he lives here.
Oh, does he? Uh-huh. Oh, cool. Well, then, yeah, we can do that anytime
he
wants.
Yeah, he lives here, so.
Very cool.
Cool.
That's what my week has been like, so I got that out of the way. I think I'm going to take this week off, because I am actually going to lose a toenail.
Oh,
I wasn't kidding about that.
Oh, God. What happened to it?
It's just, it's one of the things that comes with distance running.
Oh.
It's happened before.
Ooh.
It's just, I think it has something to do with circulation or something.
Oh, okay.
But it hurts pretty good, and since it's like loose and flapping.
Oh, my God.
I don't care for it, I can tell you that. Especially when I'm in bed at night, because it likes to catch on the blanket.
Oh, my God.
Bad business.
Why don't you just pull it out?
Because I'm a pussy.
Oh, have your wife do it.
I think it's going to, maybe probably a day or two, it's just going to fall off.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I got to be really careful putting my shoes and socks on.
Wow.
It's a nice shade of black, though, so I got that going for me.
Oh, my.
That's what I'm doing, man. You got anything to report on the werewolf front?
Mm-mm. I've been staying indoors all week just because of the allergies.
Yeah, the weather's gone to shit, too. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually pretty nice. It's cooled off.
It
is.
It feels good.
Yeah.
But with the wind blowing, I just can't not go outside this week.
Allergies, man. They are a certified motherfucker. And, yeah. You get itchy and scratchy too?
No, but if the, you know that yellow stuff, what is that yellow stuff that's blooming out there?
I know what it is.
Yeah, you
it's
know what
pollen.
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's not pollen, but it's like a...
Yeah, if my dog touches that and I touch it, I do get bumps from it.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, because they itch like a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. You can't... And then the more you scratch, the more bumps you get.
Yes. I feel bad for him because he comes near me and I'm like, get away from me.
Oh, Mom. All right then, inmates. Oh, we need to pick a movie for next week. Monica.
Oh,
go crazy.
No.
Go crazy. She's going into the Chilling Classics box set. She's going to be picking a disc at random out of the public domain set.
Here you go.
Okay, my dear. Our options are War of the Robots, Oasis of the Zombies, Snow Beast, or Sisters of Death.
Oh, my goodness. Let's do Snow Beast.
Okay. I was going to veto Oasis of the Zombies because I've already seen it and it's terrible.
Have you seen Snow Death?
Is Snow Beast?
Snow Beast.
If I have, I don't remember it.
Snow Beast.
Starring Bo Svenson. Snow Beast it is.
Wow.
Inmates.
What year is that one?
You're looking at your 1977.
Oh, that should be a little better.
I hope so.
Okay.
Join us next week for Snow Beast Inmates. In the meantime, for the Padded Room Podcast and Miss Monica, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye.
educating Miss Monica.
Okay, so we forgot your question of the episode, Monica. So mm-hmm. this is going to be like a added little bonus snippet there. Your question for last week was, what would you do with your ex if she came back mm-hmm. from the dead, or he came back from the dead?
Yes.
I'm kind of in Alan's train of thought where it would depend on which ex.
Because
mm-hmm. there's a few that, you know, if they held up all right, maybe uh-huh. I'd give it another shot. Assuming I'm single,
uh-huh.
I might give it another shot. But as soon as they start to fall apart,
yeah,
they're either going to have to stay in the garage or I'm just going to get rid of them somehow, set them on fire or something.
Oh, okay.
The cool thing about that is that they're already legally dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get out of line, you can just shoot them in the head. Yeah, they're already dead, so it's not like a major crime.
Huh.
Right?
Okay.
So that's my thoughts.
Huh.
What would you do with your ex if one of them came back?
Well, I thought about this for a while, and mm-hmm. I would use it to my advantage first. I would be like, hey, you want us to be together? I need you to go rob a bank.
Wow. Little initiation process.
That's right. And we need some money.
Wow.
And then in the meantime, I'm going to book myself an airline ticket to Australia without them knowing.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
And as soon as that money comes in, I'll be like, you know, we got to put this away. And then I'm out of there.
What if he's high maintenance, though? What if he's like calling you all the time, Monica?
No, I won't have a cell. He won't know where I'm at. Because obviously, people aren't going to be letting dead people on a plane to go look for you.
Well, if he's walking around and stuff, you know, they're not going to know. They're going to be like, hey,
well,
that guy looks really sick.
They don't have the power to find you, so he's not going to find me.
That's true.
I'm out of there.
That's a good call.
I'm out of there with all the cash.
You can't be hanging around with dead folks.
Mm-mm.
Dude, there's odors mm-hmm. involved. They're going to start attracting flies and stuff. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Monica, what is your question of this week?
Oh, my God. After watching The Horde and mm-hmm. the way it ended,
yeah.
What are we going to do? Are you going to kill the only survivor you have? What are you guys going to do?
Well, are we putting ourselves in the position of those characters where
yes.
one of them is a cop and one of them is a drug dealer?
Well, just say, you know what? Let's make it that.
Okay.
Are you going to get your revenge and be stupid and kill the person? Or are you going to... What the fuck are you going to do?
See, the thing about the ending of The Horde is there's no... I mean... Sometimes in zombie movies, when they go into apocalypse mode, there'll be like a survivor outpost or some glimmer of hope out there somewhere. Uh-huh. Not really at the end of The Horde, man.
No.
It looked like the whole place went to
no,
shit.
No, you don't know anything. It's yeah. just you and that person.
That's tricky, man. I'm going to have to ponder that.
Yeah, ponder that. Mm. And it's a person of the opposite sex, of course.
Well, then that puts a whole new paint job on things there, Monica. Perfect. All right, inmates, for the Padded Room Podcast, join us next week again for Snow Beast from 1977. For the Padded Room Podcast and Miss Monica, I'm afraid visiting hours are over for real this time.
All right, bye.